Go over to Bill. Sorry for coming late. Just, I had to come in from Oka. Amen. So, we're looking at the ministry of angels, right? Glory, glory, glory. Okay, hallelujah.
Hope this is being recorded.
Glory, glory, glory. Okay, ministry of angels, this is the second section. Which person's phone is talking? Amen. So this is the number. Okay, Matthew 28 from verse 18. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority, that's the word power, is given in heaven and in the earth. He said, go therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Hallelujah. Mark 16, 4, verse 15, and he came to them and said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Say, he that believes and is baptized shall be saved. Say, he that believes not shall be damned. And this sign shall follow them that believe. In my name they will cast out devils. Say, they will speak with new tongues. Say, if they shall drink any deadly thing, they shall by no means hurt them. Say, they would lay their hands on the sick, and the sick will recover. Right? So then, after the Lord had spoken to them, was received up into heaven and sat at the right hand of God. And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord walking with and confirming the word with signs following. Luke 24, 46. And he said to them, Tarsus beholds Christ Jesus, and to rise from the dead the third day. And the repentance that is the remission of sin will preach in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things. Hallelujah. So we said this will be Jesus' closing remark. Right? Jesus' closing remark within the 40 days. So that means what happened within the 40 days? No, the 40 days. After the resurrection, Jesus stayed with them for 40 days. So what was he doing? Acts of Apostles chapter 1 verse 3. Luke made us see that he was teaching them concerning the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. He was teaching them concerning the kingdom of God. God was teaching them. So within the 40 days, Jesus spent time teaching them. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And when you look at Luke closely, in Luke 24, 14, verse 25, I mean 26 and 27, it says, ought not the Christ to suffer these things and to enter into his glory, beginning at the Moses, and all the prophets he expounded unto them in order to teach us the things concerning himself. 44, said, these are the words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which are in the law of Moses, in the prophets, and in the Psalms concerning me. So, what Luke pointed our attention to was to the fact that Jesus taught from the scriptures. So that means when Jesus was teaching them, they had the scriptures with them. Hallelujah. So Jesus taught from the scriptures, Genesis to Malachi. Jesus wasn't teaching from Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, who were not written them. In other words, he was teaching from Acts, Corinthians, Galatians. No, they weren't written them. So what they had written was Genesis down to Malachi. Hallelujah. So that means that was the background of Jesus' teaching. I hope you're following me. Should I call it background, or that would be Jesus' Bible? Jesus wouldn't teach outside his Bible. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So that means this instruction to go raise disciples, this instruction to go preach the gospel will be what? Will be the instruction of Genesis to Malachi when we read together. Hallelujah. Very, very important. And remember, I told us, I've said this to us often, and I'm just saying it again, that Mark, Luke, and John, they will write about the entrance into discipleship. Hallelujah. While Matthew will focus on both that entrance and what happens to discipleship. Because when it says, go raise disciples, that word to raise disciples will be a shorthand, a short form for preaching, getting men saved, and then discipling them. Hallelujah.
Hope you're following me.
So let's see something. The apostles also, being the apostolos of Jesus, right? The apostolos of Christ, of Jesus, they would also read, or their mode of interpreting scriptures will be from the Pastoral books also. Hallelujah. We'll see these two as we progress. Glory to God. We'll see how they will read like Jesus from the Genesis. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So, and their interpretation will be the same with that of Jesus. Jesus will not use a word and they will use it in another form. No. Because they are apostles of Jesus. They are Jesus' sent ones. They would interpret scripture just like Jesus. Hope you are following it. Just like Jesus. Hallelujah. They would interpret the scriptures the way the Pharisees and the Sadducees would do. They would interpret scriptures differently. Right? Just like Jesus. Hallelujah. They will read and they will have the background of their study or of their teaching or their textbook to be the Old Testament books. I gave us that assignment last week. What's the difference between the Old Testament and the New Testament book? Hallelujah. Make sure you look at that earlier. Amen? Glory to God. So, just very simple. Let me give us an idea. The Old Testament book is Genesis to Malachi, right? And it's called Old Testament book for reference, right? So, what is the difference between the Old Testament books and the New Testament? The Old Testament is contained in Genesis to Malachi. Hallelujah. Okay. And the Old Testament will be a rejection of God's testament. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I guess we've done that. We did that already in the book of Galatians. So read it. I guess to study the book of Galatians. Again, just a bit of it. Go. Hallelujah. So let's go for that a bit. So we said last week that the epistles will carry the weight of their teaching, right? The epistles will carry the weight of their teaching. So that means the epistles will have what? The Old Testament books as their background. The background of the four gospels and the epistles will not be any other material apart from the scriptures. Okay, apologies. Glory to God. If there's any other material apart from the scripture, then it's not, you can equate it as scripture. Hope you're following me. So to carry it the same way. Glory to God. Going back to Matthew 28, look at that verse 20. It says, teaching them. So that means, remember, it says, make disciples. Now that word disciple is the word Matthew. How you enroll a child into his system of learning. Hallelujah. So when it uses the word make disciples, make disciples, teaching them, that would be an instruction from the Genesis to Malachi. That's what I said earlier on, right? Hallelujah. That means, if I read Genesis to Malachi, the instruction will be similar. Raise disciples. You will see as the instruction of scriptures. Glory to God. And that would be, remember, we said that is a shorthand, raise disciples. It would be a shorthand for what? Men seek and come to the knowledge of the truth. 2 Timothy 2:4, God desires for all men to see and to come to the knowledge of the truth. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Let's see that again. We saw that last week. Let's see that again. Matthew 1:27-28. I want to show us a few things here. Matthew 1:27-28. It says, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God created him, male and female created he them. And God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply, replenish the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. So the instruction is simple. Replenish the earth. Multiply. Right? Replenish. Now replenish, remember we say replenish is not childbearing, like the way you give birth, right? Go to God. Husband and wife giving birth to a child. No. The replenishing there will be what makes the cycle, right? God's kind. Glory to God. Now read that together. Remember, refill the earth, subdue it. Subdue it will not mean to eat the animals. No. Animals there will be used for the different kinds of men, right? We've seen that earlier, right? Animals. So we're gonna see something else today as regards the Costellion, or how is it pronounced again? Get to see all them a bit.
building up. I hope you're following me.
Now, in look at Genesis 1:27-28 vis-a-vis Numbers 14:21. Look at Numbers 14:21 and Hebrews 2:14. Now look at Numbers 14:21 quickly. Replenish here, right? Replenish here is what God's kind, right? Numbers 14:21. As truly as I live, all the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord, right? Shall be filled with the glory. Who will fill the earth with the glory of the Lord? The man in his image, right? Genesis 1:27, right? Is that the replenishing? We'll put in the rush down to Habakkuk. Habakkuk 2:14 quickly. Hope you follow me. Okay, Habakkuk 2:14. For the earth shall be, now Habakkuk used the same thing with Numbers 14. He said, and the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord, as the waters cover the sea. Hallelujah. We're following it. So he calls it the knowledge of the glory of God. Hallelujah. So, look at what I said. So the word, so the, that word to replenish the earth would be a shorthand for men saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. Hallelujah. Okay, following me. Men saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. That's it. And we said that last week, that this would be the reason for the Exodus. I mean, this is to be the reason for the Genesis. The Genesis is written to an Exodus audience, so that they will come to know Him, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, right? So Moses will now pen it down. He will now explain, he will now write about God, theology, write theology with His relationship. Hallelujah. So that means God is best described in His relationship. We said that, right? Hallelujah. So God wants to be known to His children, to His people. Hallelujah. That is why He would tell, He will make Moses write Genesis to an Exodus audience. Why would the children do that? Why would they want, why, what would be the reason, right? Hallelujah. You see, God just wanted them to be delivered. No. If that was all God needed to do with Israel, they will have been delivered from Egypt and you Genesis, right? But Moses didn't have to pen down Genesis. They have to give them the oracles of the past. Hallelujah. Which will be Genesis about God. So why would he do that? Why would he do that? Because God wants to be known. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So the children of Israel in Exodus, coming out of Exodus will be deliverance, and Genesis was given to them. What does it mean? We're all meant to be saved and to come. So that becomes for you, and I don't want to call it a shadow, but to see that is the light of it. Hallelujah. Men saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. Glory to God. Hope you're following me. So they are delivered to know God. Amen. So is it just to know God and don't know? Remember I told us something last week, I said the end point of teaching is what spiritual growth, which will be worship. Right? Right? Hallelujah. Let's say something. Let's look at it. Exodus chapter 3. Look at what God said to Moses when he asked him to come see them, to go to Egypt. Look at verses from verse 11. He says, and Moses said unto God, who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh? And that I should go forth and bring the children of Israel out of Egypt. And he said, certainly I will be with thee. And this shall be a token that I have sent thee. When thou hast brought the children out of Egypt, ye shall serve God on this mountain. Hallelujah. So, ye shall serve God on this mountain. Glory to God. So, it's worship, it's tithes. Glory to God. So that means spiritual growth will be seen in my worship, will be seen in my tithes. Hope you're following that. Spiritual growth will be seen. So God wants his children to come to knowledge about him. God doesn't want his children to be dark about him. I've heard some people who say God is mysterious. No, God isn't. Say God is a mysterious. God is mysterious. Okay, let me put it this way. Say, nobody can know God. Because we only have a thing. See, God has made known himself. What we need to know about him, he has made it known in the scriptures. Hallelujah. All you need to know about God is what we have documented as scriptures.
What are you following it?
No, there are other materials. There are no other materials.
The scripture alone.
Not the scripture plus.
The scripture is alone.
It's sufficient.
Glory to God.
It's sufficient. Amen. So God wants us to know him. God wants us to know him. In Hosea chapter 4 verse 6. Hosea 4 6. Quickly. Are you there? Since my people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge. Hallelujah. Because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee, and thou shalt be no more priest to me. Seeing that thou hast forgotten the law of God, I will also forget. I will also forget thy children. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Yeah. We'll get to look at all of these as we continue our study on the revelation of God. But he said, my people are destroyed, perish for lack of knowledge. Very vital. So knowledge is important. Knowledge is important. Because knowledge is important, that will be the reason why he will say, Jesus will say in Matthew 28:20, teaching them. That's why he will say teaching them. Because the teaching of the word will bring about knowledge of his will. Hallelujah. And knowledge will bring about spiritual growth, which we'll be seeing in our service, in our worship. Knowledge is so important that Paul, in his writings, will pray for the churches for knowledge. We read some of that last week. We pray concerning knowledge in Ephesians 1 from verses 15 to verse 22. Colossians 1:9, Philippians 1:9. Hallelujah. We pray for them precisely concerning knowledge. In Ephesians chapter 3 also, from verses 17. From verses 17 to 18 to 19. Hallelujah. Knowledge. Let's look at where we were last week. Philemon, right? Philemon 6. It says that the communication of thy faith may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in Christ Jesus. Now, the word acknowledging there is not a mental accent. No, the word acknowledging is the word epignosis. Precise, accurate information. Precise and accurate information. And it says that the communication will become effectual. Now that word effectual, we looked at that last week, it means to become operative. So that means, now when you, and remember, also, I'm just refreshing your mind, when he uses the word, the communication of thy faith, we say that word communication of thy faith, we'll find it in verse 5, when it says, the end of thy faith and love, which thou have towards the Lord and towards all the world and towards all the saints. So that will be his faith. Hallelujah. That is to say his work in love. Right? Now it says that it will become effectual, operative by the acknowledging. Now, that means my faith work. Okay, let me call it, let me permit that word, my faith work or my work in love is to the degree, or my Christian work is to the degree of the knowledge I've come to know about Christ. Hallelujah. So what if I know it and I don't walk in it? You don't know it. Hope you are following me. Hope you are following that. What if I know it and I am not yet walking in it, you don't know it? Because the fact that you know it is the fact that you are walking in it. A believer who knows, who has been taught he should not steal and he steals. So sir, he knows it. But why is he not walking in it? He is not walking in it because he does not know it. These are two different things. Hallelujah. Glory to God. What's that? He knows it in Greek and he doesn't do it.
Glory to God.
Hope you're following me. That's not what I'm teaching you today, but it's very important for you.
All for us. Glory to God.
So that means my Christian walk is to the degree of what I have come to know about God in Christ. Hallelujah. What I've come to know about God in Christ. So that means knowledge is important in Christianity. It is that the communication of your faith will become effectual, oppressive. By the control of everything that is in you, that is in Christ. I mean everything which is every good thing. So there are good things that are in us. Hallelujah. Because of our union with Christ. That things will proceed because of our union with Christ. Hallelujah. And last week we saw how are these things? They are free. Right? Romans 8 verse 2. They are freely given. Freely given. Hallelujah. They are freely given. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2 verse 12. It says, I have not seen, neither I see ahead. And I enter into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love him. That is not time, brother. But for them that love God has revealed himself to us by his Spirit. For the Spirit has said unto hear the doctrines of God. For what man knows the things of the man, save the man, save the Spirit which is in him. Even so the things of God let no man save the Spirit of God. Now we'll receive not the Spirit of this world, but the Spirit which is of God, that woman knows the things that are freely given to us of God. Hallelujah. Freely given. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Freely given to the rest of God. So, I said something. I said, the things that will receive in salvation are free. They are free. Glory to God. When it means it's freely given, it means it's without charge. It's without charge. Hallelujah. Okay, following me. So the things you need to work for was not part of salvation. Important. Right? So that means, because you need to go to work and work, you discover that wealth is not part of why Jesus died. Glory to God, because you still have to work. So make money. Glory to God. Amen. Amen. So it's not a benefit in salvation. No.
It's not. Amen. Hope you're following me. Go.
So let's move ahead a bit. So we said there are things that are freely given to us because we are in Christ. We are in Christ. Hallelujah. Mm. Hallelujah.
Yes,
2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 17. It says, if any man be in Christ, is a new creation. It says, all things are passed away. It says, behold, all things have become new. So we are in Christ. Hallelujah. We are in Christ. Amen. 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 I wish to in the next couple of years share with us on that teaching. In the next couple of months rather, share with us on that teaching. The in Christ reality. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We are in Christ. We are in Christ. Glory. So last week we began to look at what we have in Christ, right? Right? We can begin our work having Christ. Hebrews 11 from verse 17 to 20. Hebrews 11. Verses 20 to 23. Hebrews 11. That's the verse 11 calling. Last week I did the same thing. Made the same thing. Hebrews 12. From verse 17. For ye know afterwards when ye would have been. Okay, let's jump to 18. For ye have not come to a mount that might be touched, that burned with fire, nor unto darkness and tempest. Right? Now remember we said this is talking about the what? The old covenant. Right? And we said it's talking about the old covenant, not talking about Moses, not talking about the Ten Commandments, talking about the old covenant. And we said, what do we have here? We saw rejection, we saw unbelief, right? Right? So we've not come to unbelief. Verse 22, he said, but ye have come unto Mount Zion. Hallelujah. Unto the city of the living God. Because of the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels. He said to the general assembly and the church of the firstborn, which are in heaven, and to God the judge of all, and to the spirit of just men now made perfect. Hallelujah. And to Jesus the mediator. Hallelujah. We'll come to Jesus. Hallelujah. And to Jesus the mediator of the new covenant. So we'll come to the new covenant. And to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel. Right? Right? And we'll discuss, we looked at the sacrifice of Abel. Then that's the blood of Jesus is referring to the sacrifice of Jesus. Right? So what was the sacrifice of Abel? Was a shadow. Right? Right? Moses wrote that as a shadow to point to Jesus' sacrifice.
Very important. Glory to God.
So we said what the writer of Hebrews is doing here was not a comparison, but only telling us that this points to this.
Glory, glory, glory.
So let's go further. Now, we said Mount Zion. So let's take a few commentary on Mount Zion. So last week we said Zion is a physical place, right? In Jerusalem, called David's City. Let's look at something. It's a physical place. In Deuteronomy chapter 4, verses 48. Deuteronomy 4, 48. Quick. Deuteronomy 4, 48. It says, and for Oar, which is by the bank of the river Arnon, even unto Mount Zion, which is Hermon. So Zion is a place. You see that? Zion is a place. In 2 Samuel chapter 5, look at verses 7. 2 Samuel 5, 7. I'll read it again. It says, okay, verses 6. And the king and his men went to Jerusalem. So Zion is in Jerusalem. Hallelujah. Unto the Jebusites, the inhabitants of the land, which spoke unto David, saying, except thou take away and bind, take away the blind and the lame, and thou shalt not come thither, thinking David cannot come thither, come thither. Verse 7. Nevertheless, David took the stronghold of Zion. Said, the same is the city of David. You see that? David took what? The stronghold of Zion. Now, quickly. So when you use the word stronghold there, it means Zion is like David's, you call it, the same way you can equate an answer for a White House to the US. Hallelujah. Zion is like that for David. It's a place of authority. Hallelujah. Glory to God. A stronghold. Or you talk about Kiev. In Ukraine. Amen. Glory to God. A stronghold. I have in my notes David Castle Rock. How would I even find that? How would I say David at White House? But David Castle Rock. Amen. Amen. So it's a place of David's authority in Jerusalem. We saw something last week. Let me just rush down my notes last week to remind you. We also saw that in 1 Chronicles. Hold on with 1 Chronicles. Where 1 Chronicles? I guess I missed that all. Okay, yeah. 1 Kings 8:1. Then Solomon assembled the elders of Israel and all the heads of the tribe, the chief of the fathers of Israel, unto King Solomon in Jerusalem, that they might bring up the ark of the covenant of the Lord out of the city of David, which is Zion. So we're going to, this will become clearer as we proceed beyond today. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So that means you'll find the ark where? In Zion. Glory to God. So get clear as we proceed. Okay. So, he calls Zion again the city of David. So it's David's city. You'll find it also in 2 Chronicles 5 verse 2. 2 Chronicles 5 verse 2. So, it is David's stronghold. Now,
Look at what I have. Said, though it was David's stronghold, yet David used it prophetically to speak of Yahweh's authority. He used Zion to talk of what Yahweh's authority. So that means David's physical Zion was actually used as a shadow of what Yahweh's Zion. Hallelujah. Remember, God will use man's language, right? Come on, man's vocabulary, use things that are around man, right? To communicate what? Hallelujah. Just shitting it up. No, there we go. Amen. Look at Psalms 2 from verse 1. Psalms 2. Lovely Lord. Psalms 2 verse 1. Say, why did the heathen rage, and the people imagine a vain thing? Say, the kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed one. He says, let us break their bands asunder and cast their cords away from us. Say, he that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. Say, the Lord shall have them in derision. Then shall he speak unto them in his wrath and vex them in his displeasure. Yet I have set my king. Look at verse 6. This is God speaking. Say, yet I have set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. Did you see that? I will declare the decree. The Lord has said to me, thou art my son. This day have I begotten thee. Who was he speaking to? We'll get to see that Hebrews chapter 1 verse 5. Hallelujah. Say, this day have I begotten you. He said, ask of me, I will give thee the heathen for thy inheritance, and the uttermost part of the earth for thy possession. Is that authority? Come on, is that authority? Aha. So, it is verses 9. Say, thou shalt break them with the rod of iron. Thou shalt dash them in pieces like the potter's vessel. What is he talking about? He's talking about authority. He's showing you authority. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So, David's city, which is Zion, points to the heavenly Zion, the city of the living God. Hallelujah. And it speaks of God, or it speaks of God's authority. The authority. Hallelujah. So Zion signifies authority. We have come from Mount Zion. Hallelujah. It's authority. Glory to God. Look at Psalms 9 verse 11. Just so secretly. Psalms 9 verse 11. It says here, it says, sing praises to the Lord, which dwells in Zion. Declare among the people his doing. Hallelujah. Who dwells in Zion? The Lord, right? Right? This is the city of the Lord. It says, sing praises to the Lord, which dwells in Zion. Look at chapter 14 verse 7. Chapter 14 verse 7. Oh, that the salvation of Israel will come out of Zion. When the Lord bringeth back the captivity of his people, Jacob shall rejoice and Israel shall be glad. So, Zion is where God carried out his redemptive work. Chapter 14 verse 2. Chapter 14, verse 2, Psalms 48. We're looking at how David uses prophetically. Psalms 48, verses 2. It says, great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. This is the psalm by Korah. It says, in the city of our God, in the mountain of his holiness. This beautiful for situation. It says, the joy of the whole earth. It says, it is Mount Zion on the side of the north. He calls it the city of the great king. Hallelujah. Are you following me? Hallelujah. Psalms 50 quickly. Verse 2. Read the Psalm of Asaph. Or Asaph. David's family. Verse 2. It says, out of Zion, the perfection of beauty, God has shined. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Let's look at Obadiah. You know what Obadiah is?
quickly Obadiah. Once you get to him, once you get to Obadiah.
Okay.
Verse 17. Obadiah 17. It says, but upon Mount Zion shall be deliverance, and there shall be holiness, and the house of Jacob shall possess that its possession. When I say there shall be deliverance, it's quite deliverance. No. You don't find it, not that is a bit of a translation, a translator's or an interpreter's bias. It's actually upon Mount Zion shall be a delivered city. Hallelujah. So what you have in Mount Zion is delivered city. Glory to God. And they shall be holy. Hallelujah. And house of Jacob shall possess that possession. So in Mount Zion, what you find in Mount Zion is a delivered people. Hallelujah. So who is the king in Zion? Yahweh is the king in Zion. Hallelujah. Glory to God. How are you following me? So Zion is God's authority. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. Glory to God. So let's see the writer of Hebrews again. Let's see the writer of Hebrews. Chapter 11, chapter 12. It says, we've come to Mount Zion. Hallelujah. Verse 22. Verse 20. It says, 18. You have not come unto the mountain that might be talking. 22. But you have come unto Mount Zion, the city of the living God. So Zion is the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem. Look at verse 24. You have come to Jesus. Did you see that? Who have you come to? Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory, glory, glory. So what do we have in Zion? We began looking at angels, right? Angels. And we said, when using the word innumerable company of angels, we said that word angelus or the word malak, right? The word angelus or the word malak in the Hebrew. Angelus. Now that word is used for both men and supernatural beings, right? We'll look at that distinction over the time. Now there's also another plant of the word, how that word angels were used even in the Old Testament book. But we'll get there this week. I thought we'll get there, but why not? We'll do that next week. Hallelujah. Immediately after membership class. I just look at that next week after membership class. So now when you use the word, there's another word, you use the word Elohim. Elohim. Elohim too is used for what both supernatural beings and also used for men. So those are words that you have to read in context. Glory to God. So now in context, when it says innumerable company of angels, it requires you to go back again to read his commentary about angels in chapter 1. To see that when he talked about angels there, he's talking about supernatural beings. Hope you're following me. Supernatural beings. Glory to God. Hope you're with me. Amen. So, in Hebrews 1, we began looking at this last week, right? So Hebrews 1 verse 5. What's that verse 4? He said, being made so much better than the angels, and have by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. Hallelujah. Now when you use the word name, name is the word used for authority. So the Son has authority. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Verse 5, for which of the angels said at any time, thou art my Son, is thereby begun in thee? Hallelujah. And it's again, I will be unto him a father and he shall be to me a son. So angels are not called sons. Angels are called, angels are not called sons. Now that word sons, this way, you know what is the abide begotten thee? Is the word used for Jesus in John chapter 1 verse 14. Hallelujah. Monogenal. Monogenal. So that's the word genal there. Glory to God. So angels were not called sons. But I actually posted an explanation there last week. I said, when I get to Genesis 6, I discovered that angels were called sons.
We're going to see that a bit today. We'll get into it phase by phase. Hallelujah.
But angels were not called sons. Right?
Glory to God. So let's take it like that for now. Rather, angels serve. Look at verse 6 again. When he bring forth his protocols into the world, he said, let all the angels worship him. So angels serve the Son.
Hallelujah. Come on. Angels serve man.
Angels serve man. Angels serve man. Very, very vital.
God doesn't need angels to do carry out his task. Right? Who needs angels? Man needs. Right?
Hallelujah.
God is God. God is God.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, let's see their composition. Angels have a spectacular composition. We began looking at that. Verse 7. And to which one of the angels, he said, who maketh the angel spirit and his minister flames of fire?
Flames away.
Flames away.
Huh? No. I'm a minister of fire.
Minister of fire. Ministers. Minister of fire conference.
As light as it is, you come immediately catch the fire for work.
As light as it is, go back, use sentences, Bible phrase, by the way, he is talking about angels.
Hallelujah.
Here we go. It's good for a minister to catch fire, but can you just adjust that thing? Hallelujah. It will be nice. So here we go. He makes this minister spirit. I mean, he makes his angel spirit and his minister flame of fire. Because that one, okay, we'll get to that shortly. Hallelujah. Makes them flame of fire. So, when it says flame of fire, that is the composition of an angel. Hallelujah. In appearance, angels are spectacular. But yet, angels have to worship the Son. Okay, look at verse 14. They are they not of ministry spirit sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of who?
Salvation. So they are to minister for them. So angels minister for the heirs of salvation, right? Right? Hallelujah. Who are the heirs of salvation? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Heirs of salvation.
So they minister. So angels minister for man. So their angels will have to serve man, right? Or serve,
serve man.
Okay. Let's see a bit on that. So,
angels who worship this man,
they are created to minister for man.
So that means, can we say, man's need, angels are programmed to meet man's need. Can you say that? Right? I don't know if you now going by. I said this last year. So, no, we have. We'll also look at some of those needs.
Angels are giving you touch.
Go now. Go now to my market. Go now. Angels! All my angels! Go! Go!
Let me give you guys a something like this. I wanted to hide my name. I will not say it again today. Maybe I will say Greg will not have the one.
Hey, yeah! Go! Go! Go!
Oh, God. I remember one time, I went somewhere where someone said, and I tried it too, after he had said it. He said, angels, every angel around me, I send you on that assignment now. I don't want any angels around me. Hey, go on that assignment now.
Do we have such a structure? Do we have such teaching in scriptures to give command to angels? We're going to see that. I've not said it yet, I've not said it yet. Right? So when you are laughing, you know how you are laughing. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Amen. Amen. It's a fact. See, it was a time again that it was.
There are people who have drunk water and HIV is left. Have you not seen it? I don't know people that somebody told them to take insecticide and they went. That is what you can ask for.
Amen. Your experience does not explain scriptures. Right? Aha. Glory to God. So where were we? Oh yeah, angels are programmed to meet man's need. Let's look at Hebrews 2 again. It says, wherefore we also give more energy to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them sleep. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and the transgression and disobedience received the just recompense of the world, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which was at first began to be spoken by the Lord, and was confirmed to us by them that heard him? It is God also witness both with signs and wonders and with divers miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost according to his own will. For unto the angels had he not put in subjection the word to come whereof we speak. But in one certain place testified, saying, what is man that thou art mindful of him, not the son of man that thou visited him? Thou art made him a little lower than the angels, and crown him with glory and honor, and he set him over the works of his hands. Okay? Amen? And I'll put all things on that subjection on thy feet. Put all things,
whatever I get to write, I also remember how, well, sometimes, there was a time, I had a teaching around this time, I said, there are different classes of angels. Have you ever heard that maybe? Classes of angels. Let me see if I can still remember.
He crashed down.
No.
That was not what he was talking about. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. No, my sins are forgiven. Yeah, sins are forgiven. So,
like last. Have you washed and sanctified? Put your hallelujah in your pocket.
Hallelujah. So, let's see this. He said he has put all things. Now, let's see what it means by little lower than angels. Right?
Let's look at with the text.
With itself.
Right? By itself, right?
For verse 8, thou hast put all things in subjection under his feet. For in that he put all in subjection under him, he left nothing that is not put under him. But now we see not yet all things put under him. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels. Talking about Jesus, right? Right? For the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that by the grace of God should have death for every man. So, death for every man, come on.
Have it somewhere.
Right?
For if you take
him, for whom all things, and by whom all things, in bringing many sons to glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through suffering. For both he that sanctified and they who are sanctified are all of one, for which cause is not ashamed to call them brethren.
So, our unification,
right? Right? I mean, sorry, our identification, rather. Right? Identification?
Saying, I will declare thy name to all my brethren. In the midst of the church, I will sing praise unto thee. Again and again, I will put my trust in him. And behold, and again, behold, and I am the children which God has given me. Amen. For much as then, I mean, for much then, as the children are partakers of what? Partakers of what? Come on, we just read something now. For as much as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also took part of what? The same, right? That through death might destroy him and have the power of death, that is the devil. So he took part of the same. So the taking part of the same, is that a little lower than angel? What is it? Flesh and blood. What are you following me? So that is Jesus' incarnation. So in the incarnation, he was a little lower than the angel. So that means man is lower than angel in terms of what? Status. Or in terms of body composition. Remember, we're going to say the composition of angels. Remember I told you that angels are spectacular. Right? So in terms of physical strength, physical mind, angels are stronger than man. Hope you're following this. They are stronger than man. And God did it that way. Hope you're following this. God did it that way. How will God do it that way? How many of you have seen bouncers before? Or bouncers to one lengelenge guy? You see how they have, they call the apple bitches. Right? You know, some people will be training themselves, they want to be bouncers. Why not train yourself to be the man that has the bouncers? Right? Where are you being? I'm what are you what do you want to become? I want to be a bouncer. Why not be the man that will have bouncers? Right? You know that the will have bouncer does not need all those trainings. You are the one who needs the training. Isn't it? Taking diet. The man is there. He's taking Chinese. When the man is sitting, you are standing. Angel stand. Glory to God. Are you calling for the angel? Amen? Glory to God. Amen. Pastor Dixon, so you guys are laughing. Amen. I'm not talking about him. She's not trying to become a banker now. If you say he's a banker, he's a banker. Hallelujah. He's going to go. Okay, but then, so you and your organ now go to Mr. Chen. You are standing. You are perceiving the fragrance of the aroma. Let me not call it fragrance. I might embarrass my alma mater. So you perceive the aroma. Your organ is why eating it. You know that. The only thing tastes nice, but you can't drink. You always clown. Your guy is starting to laugh. Get me that. Amen. So, God made it that way. They are spectacular in appearance. Right? Yes. Hallelujah. Let's move on to B. So let's see the composition of angels. Look at it. Now, remember in Hebrews chapter 1 verse 7, it says, it made them flames of fire. Right? Let's see something in 2 Kings 2. Let's see a composition of angels. I want to ask you guys a question again I asked. 2 Kings 2, verse 11. I have this question last week, but I'm going to ask it again. And it came to pass, as they still went on and talked, this is Elijah and Elisha, and behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire. And parted them both asunder, and Elijah was taken up by a whirlwind into heaven. And Elijah saw it, and Elisha saw it, and cried out, my father, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof. And he saw him no more, and he took a hold of his clothes and rent them into two pieces. Now, what took Elijah to heaven? Wind. What did Elijah tell you? I hear you. Were you in church last week? Were you here last week? I said this thing with your mouth.
He said, Elijah went up to heaven by a
wild wind. Is it not there?
By a wild wind.
Hey, glory to God. Glory to God. So, went up to heaven by a wild wind. So, now when you use the word, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire.
Was referring to angels. Hallelujah. Angels.
Angelic sight.
Hope you are following me.
Angelic sight. I like fire. Look at chapter 6. Again, on that same book.
Number 16. And when the servant of the man of God was risen early and gone forth, behold, an host compassed the city, both with horses and chariots. And the servant came to unto his master, Alas, master, how shall we do? And he answered, Fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them. And Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray thee, open the eyes, open his eyes, that he may see. And Lord, open the eyes of the young man, and he saw. And behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of what? Chariots of what? Chariots of what? You guys have not opened there. Chariots of fire about, round about who? Elisha. You see that? So, chariots of fire around Elisha. So that those are sights of angels in man. Hallelujah. They are like fire. They have the appearance. They have a fire-like appearance. Like I said, they have a spectacular appearance. In 2 Peter 2 verse 11.
Are you
here? You see, where are angels, which are greater in power and might, bring not dwelling accusation against them before the Lord. Greater in power and might. Now that word power there is what in the Greek for strength.
Right? For strength. So, angels have strength. Right? Physical composition, they have strength. But they don't have authority. Hallelujah. They don't have authority. We don't bow to angels. Hallelujah. If you read, and we're going to deal with that, so this is not. We're going to deal with that. Jesus in the coming days. Hallelujah. But we will deal with it in this teaching maybe by next week. Hallelujah. You know, if you look at the Old Testament book, many of us, I said this during the last series on the revelation of God and its progressive. Now, I said, it was something like, in the Old Testament book, you would have, we said the Old Testament book is the revelation of God, right? But you also have men, you have to read it and then you have to see, you do also read men trying to explain God. Right? Let me put it like that for today, but I know that was not how I said it during that teaching, but you'll see human intellect trying to explain God. Like, or you find actions that it looked as if God took, but it wasn't God that took those actions. Right? Hallelujah. We saw one a time ago, like the angel, the death, like that fancy to look as if there was a death angel from God. Right? I came to kill children in Israel. I mean in Egypt. No, but it wasn't God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. It wasn't God. Hope you're following me. Hope you're following me. So you find those little things play in their write-off. But you would also have the four Gospels and the epistles
to give you a leeway out. But like as I said, if you read them in loom, but what they read, what Paul read was the 39 books in loom. Hallelujah. Glory to God. But when you read, it gives you a leeway out. You see that no, it wasn't God. This is not God. Like when it is said in, that should be in Exodus. No, that should be in Exodus. I'm trying to put it. I said the Lord said, thus said the Lord, He will destroy completely the Amalekites. But it wasn't God that did that. Who did it later on? It was Saul. Hallelujah. Okay, follow me. Saul did it. But if you read it that alone, you would think God was going to destroy. God is a destroyer. Like I told you, I saw a young guy who put that, I have discovered, sir, that God is not a killer. See, he wrote it on his status. For one, I know that he was, what he's having is, what do they call it, cliche. I knew it was cliche. I knew it was cliche. What I told him for that, I believe you. I believe you, that is true. But can you prove it? Or you're talking, I said, I'm going to put, I was chatting with you, I said, I'm going to put a spanner into your wheel now. Just agree. I said, okay. Open to Isaiah. I can't get answer again. You're just trying to become a Pentecostal. You're just trying to turn it, twist it, turn it like that. Just laugh. Yeah. Explain it. Because, see, there's one thing. But you know you are learning the right way. You will not be in a rush to put cliches online. Yes, ma'am. You will be in a rush to put cliches online. You are interested in me.
We are higher than angels in all education. Hashtag word for the now.
No! Hallelujah! There we go. Amen. Don't be in a rush to write nonsense. Glory to God. Writing things like that is just like saying Messi is the best in the world. You know it's not possible. You can't call him the best in the world. When there is a still Ronaldo. Amen. Stop thinking like that. Or you are now comparing and saying, Real Madrid is the best in the world. You can't say that. Why? When there is a Chelsea. Take it on you. I'm the call Liverpool. The liver got dried. Don't mind me. Let's come back. Amen. So in the Old Testament books, you find points or a different. You find practices of men trying to bow to angels. Or if you are very smart, you would discover that those angels refuse them. Okay, I follow you. Read very well. We're going to investigate that next time. Angels refuse to accept the worship of man because you want to try it, are you God? Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Except they accept it on behalf of God. But you don't do it. You don't worship angels. You don't worship angels. You don't do it.
We don't worship angels. Just as simple as that.
Angels serve man. Hope you're following me. Or minister for man. Very important. They minister for us. So we don't worship them. So most times you see in scriptures, they try to. But it's not true. It's wrong. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Mm-hmm. Now, but you now find instances where like the angel that appeared to Joshua. When the man is there, he is the captain of the Lord's army. What is Joshua doing? Joshua bowed. Right? The angel says, no, don't bow to me. No, angel can't look at it. You know, because that person appeared to Joshua, he's not an angel per se. Though it's supernatural being, we're going to do that differentiation, we're going to do that clear cut, not in this series, not in the next series, hallelujah. But we'll get there. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Go to God. But angels don't receive
worship of man. They don't.
So the same way too, Paul also warned that we'll get into this soon. Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen. Glory to God.
Amen. So very important. I've heard at this point I want to take up some meat. Some people have about angels. And I'll take it up from this.
You don't worship angels. I've heard. I've been in a church before. I've been in a garden of believers before. That a minister. And I said, he has the word. You know, when I tell somebody has the word, I know what I'm telling you. Is it? Has the word. You know what I mean by has the word?
Can teach you in Christ reality. No, no, no. But I didn't know why he went to teach about angels. No, Father, you know, said angels can punish a believer. Angels, you should be careful of angels. He said, I talked. We're going to look at some things in the course of this series. Hallelujah. In the course of this series. Some things that we got. Why did John get blind? I said, that is John. Zachariah. I mean, get that's called blind. How did he get? Why was he? Is this Chinese? Mute, right? What is mute? Dumb, man. Yeah, deaf. Okay. Well, why was he dumb?
Struck by an angel.
How about that for a movie title?
Struck by an angel.
Glory to God. But why did that happen? And things like that. So there are a lot of meat. So the guy was talking like, you know, was almost like saying, you're scared of angels. Doesn't they give you slap before? Ah. You don't have to look at it again. Did I meet you? Amen. I was like, here we are all fine. And everyone was quiet in church. Or the one that said, ladies should cover their hair. If not, if you don't cover your hair, you are disobeying the angels. It just can knock you. In fact, there was a time around the world that this was because this became it became viral around 97-98. Around that year, 97-99. I heard it too. But I was a child, so I really didn't pick up those things up like that. Now around 97-99, around that period. Yeah. So not sure. No. Really just one. So that was 2001. Yeah, 2001. So, that's 2001, not 97, 2001. So, it became viral that they said, the pastor said, if you don't cover your hair, that is how some people will not know, you will just get pregnant for angels. How about that for Rema? You want Rema now? That is Rema. So cover your hair. How much more will you not have a blonde hair? First Corinthians, and where they meet is First Corinthians 11 verse 10. First Corinthians 11:10. It says, for this cause of the woman to have power on her head because of the angels. You see that? It says, so you have power because of angels. Cover your head because of angels. Remember, it is because we don't understand the use of the word angels there. Now, remember I told you, angels use of both man and who? Spiritual being, right? Men and spiritual being. So, who was he referring to as angels here? Definitely not a supernatural thing. Hallelujah. Look at what he's writing about. Hallelujah. Nevertheless, neither is the man with... So, talking about man and woman. Hallelujah. Man and woman. And he spoke about angels there, meaning he was referring to a man, right? A physical person, a man. He's talking about a woman, a minister, because angel is used for a messenger, a minister. Right into the same church again, in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, he refers to angels as ministers, or he refers to ministers, men, as angels. 2 Corinthians 11, verses 13 into 14. 2 Corinthians 12, verses 7. How are you following me? Angels, men were called angels. In Galatians chapter 4 verse 14, Paul called himself an angel.
In Galatians chapter, yeah, Galatians 4:14.
Hope you're following that.
Hope you're following that. Very important. Glory to God.
How about that for women? I mean, for angels. You don't know, you just carry pregnancy for India. What nonsense talk is that? Amen.
Glory to God. Those angels have part in pregnant women. I've answered that question during which series was that? Is this pertaining leading and perception? Pastor Garua, is it pertaining leading and perception? Isn't so. So not sure. Okay, Genesis 6. Let's just look at that a bit. But get a hold of that teaching. I did a comprehensive work there. Let's look at it there. Is it Galatians 6?
He said, and it came to pass when men began to multiply on the surface of the earth, and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God. Now, when he used the word sons of God, he was referring to angels. So angels were called sons of God in the Old Testament group. You wouldn't find that again in the New Testament section of the Bible, but they were called sons of God in the Old Testament group. Right?
So where are the
they were called in sons of God. You find it also in Job 1:6.
Angels of God were gathered, then referring to supernatural beings.
Hallelujah. Angels, supernatural beings. In Job 2:1, is referred to again to supernatural beings. Look at Job 38. Something else I want you to see. Job 38. Remember, I'm about to answer, can angels be pregnant men? Right? Hope I didn't forget what I wanted to share. Okay, yeah. No, you're there. Okay. Where does it open? Job, right? Job 38, verse 7. I don't skip something. That's why I'm taking my time. Job 38, 7. Are you there? It says, when the morning stars sang together, and all their sons, and all the sons of God shouted for joy. It says, when the morning sun starts, sang together, and all the sons of God too, angels are called sons of God, and they are called morning stars.
Interesting.
Stars. We'll get to see that very soon. Because you also understand that man,
sons of God, let's keep it at that for now. But this will just be by one by, so I don't skip my notes.
For something. Very well. Amen. So angels are called sons of God, right? Sons of God because they fell. Remember, this is
tend to picture, use the better word for it.
They're called sons of God by men, not by God. Amen. Thank you. I have what to say. Please start with me. I'm trying to look for words there now. Hallelujah. I'm trying to look for words there. But they are not sons. You know that. They are not sons. But they were called sons. Very important. Okay. Now why would they call them sons? Because it was believed that they came from heaven.
Okay. That was their belief in their world. So they call them sons.
Glory to God. Let's go for that. It is. Okay. Now, Genesis 6, right? So, the sons of God saw the daughters of men. Come on, let's put it well. Angels, right? It came to pass, verse 2, that the angels of God saw the daughters of men and they were fair. Remember I told you that there are a lot of translation, syntax errors everywhere in this verse 2 and verse 4. A lot of syntax errors. Hallelujah. The sons of God saw the daughters of men that they were fair. And he took them wives. Now, that word wives is not actually to get married or to have sexual intercourse.
You understand? But it was the translator's choice to use the word wise. You understand? Now that word used there, the word used for to the way you come around a place, a community, not to get married. But I want to see something from Jesus' commentary in Matthew 22. First of all, let's debunk some things there. Okay, some obvious things. Matthew 22, they came to meet Jesus about a man who had a wife and had six brothers. So the man died. Remember the story? Verse 29, just after today, okay, a man died and the wife, the second brother took over up until the seventh and they all died. And finally the woman died. Is she ashamed of this? She would have. So the woman died too. Now the man asked, in the resurrection, whose wife shall she be called? Whose wife would she be? Who asked this question? Sadducees. And you don't say you err not knowing the scriptures, not the power of God. For in the resurrection, they neither marry or are given in marriage, but are as the angels of God in heaven. So angels don't marry. Seeking that. Angels don't marry. They don't have the capacity to. Amen? In fact, I'll go further. Angels don't have sexual feelings because they are impotent. They don't. Hallelujah.
Good.
For in the resurrection, they neither marry or give it to my boy. I like the angels of God. So angels don't marry. Glory to God. Now that is a commentary that deserves that for you. Hallelujah. Angels don't marry. So that means your wives, they wasn't talking about the sexual intercourse. Hope you are following me. Glory to God. Hope you are following that. We're going to see other commentaries on this verse, this chapter 6 verse 1, shortly. Now, and the Lord said, my spirit shall not strive, always strive with man, for that he is also flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. My spirit shall not strive with man for his flesh. Why did he call angels? I thought it was angels, no? Well, for you to understand that he is talking to man. You understand? So if he says his days shall be 120 years, he's not talking about man shall not live 120 years in the earth, no. Because even when Noah came forth, Noah lived more than 120 years. In fact, Noah's sons lived way more than 120 years. So we're not talking about the age of men in the earth. No, we're talking about the amount of years that God will have to suffer before the flood will be 120 years. So it's called God's long suffering. Okay, follow me. It's called God's long suffering. How God will have to suffer in the hands of men between that time and the flood is 120 years. Very well. Now verse 4. Then there were giants in the earth in those days. He didn't say it was man and woman that brought giants. He said there were giants in the earth in those days. And also after that, when the sons of God came into the daughter of men, he's no married, yo. Amen. Came into the daughter of men, that word is not used for marriage. And so that ends there. So that, and they brought children to them. Now to who? To man, not to the sons of God, not to angels. And they brought children to them. The same became mighty men. That is the word in the Hebrew, Nephilims, which were of old, men of renown. Now, if we get to, now, after this incident of giants and Nephilim, mighty men in the earth, what happened? Oh, they say, that means, if you say giant is an angel's child, so angels now have descendants. Mm-hmm. Is that true? Okay, so they not true. Not true. Where do they go? Angels are important. They can't have children. They can't get married. It's not in their makeup. Hope you are following me. It's not in their makeup. They can't get married. So you said angels gave birth to giants. Okay. After the flood, right? Because the Benjamin people on the earth, 8 people, right? Noah, his children, and their families. Now, Noah and his family. Now, 8 people in the earth, right? 8, right?
In Numbers 13, when they went to spy and they came back, what did they say in verse 33? So we saw the sons of Anak there. The sons of Anak are who? Mighty men. Giants.
You know they said we are like grasshoppers in the eye. We saw giants, the sons of Anak. Right? So that means I thought they have been washed out before. Right? That means see, there is a medical, there's a scientific explanation to giants. Amen. Amen. This is when they are dwarfs. If I say dwarf, it's a medical condition that made him to be a dwarf, that made him to be. I heard the names of some others that they are not, they might not have the same kind of dwarfy, whatever. I heard some other names. Now there are medical explanations to them. So there are medical explanations, any explanation to them, there are scientific explanations to challenges. Amen? It's got nothing. Remember the book of Genesis, not the book of science. It's got nothing to do with it. So most times then, when people come out and say giants came by the reason of man and angels having intercourse, you know, sometimes those two sides they just look at and they laugh because they can explain it. Okay, you are following, they can explain it. Triggering of hormones. And they will explain it well. But they will not tell you, okay, angels are okay, we don't need an angel now. We'll make this person give it to them. Or great Kali, is it an angel? Is a descendant of angels? Let's do what you're saying. Or this should be injured.
What are you following? Have people like that? There's a new guy now. Is it Omar? Yeah, watch wrestling. Omar, one big guy. Is he from Giants? No. I mean, is he from Angels? No. Is it?
So that means we have to now read Genesis 6 again. And see it well. But then look at commentaries from Jude 6. Look at Jude 6. Giving commentaries of what happened there. Jude 6. Let's see. What really happened there? Jude 6. Are you there? He says, and the angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation. I want you to look at this closely. Is interpreting Genesis 6. Scholars believe that Jude 6 was referring to Genesis 6 accounts. Okay, please. Scholars don't doubt it. They say that is it. Jude 6 and 2 Peter. Let's look at that Jude 6. It says, and angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own inhabitation, he had reserved in everlasting chains under darkness under judgment of the great day. Verse 7, even as Sodom and Gomorrah. Did you see that? So he likened Genesis 6 to what? Sodom and Gomorrah. Unbelief. How are you following that? Come on. It makes you see that what happened there, there was no mention of what? Sexual intercourse. That means it was not sexual intercourse. That is, I have to reread it again. How are you following it? I have to reread Genesis 6 again and reread it well. How are you following it? Glory to God. Look at 2 Peter quickly. 2 Peter 2, verses 4. It says, for if God spared not the angels that sinned, where do we find angels sing? Where? Genesis 6, right? Come on. Genesis 6. For if God spared not the angels that sinned, and did what to them? But cast them down into hell, and deliver them into chains of darkness, to be reserved unto judgment. And spare not the old world, but save Noah and 8 persons. Save Noah, the 8 persons. A preacher of righteousness bringing in flood upon the world of the ungodly. And turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. He still went down again, brought in Noah's 8 unbelief, brought to Sodom and Gomorrah unbelief too. Did you see that? So, that is the issue in Genesis 6. Is an issue that is not related to what sexual intercourse. How are you related? Amen. Amen. Come on, how can you even think of it that angels know, some people have also been deceived. I heard this from Pastor Shem, though he is happening everywhere. Some people have been deceived that the children that they gave birth to were children of the devil. How? How? So Satan has right to give children emphatically? No. Satan is just an angel. Hallelujah. Hope you're following me.
Satan is just an
angel. So someone says, no. You see, the moment you begin to miss it, you are missing it big time. Satan is not God. Satan is not a rival to God. Satan's unbelief is not towards Satan's enmity. Satan is not confronting God. He doesn't have the strength to. Satan lives in time, God doesn't live in time. God was in the beginning before the beginning began. I like that one. So that was it. Hallelujah. Amen. So you can please. Satan was created in Genesis 1. God existed before Genesis 1. If Satan has been before Genesis 1, then that means Satan is God. Come on. That means he pre-existed time. But Satan was created in time. Glory to God. You need to get that straight. Because we're dead in time. Satan was an angel. As angel, he was in charge of tongues in heaven. And then they asked me if I should join chorus. I said, I cannot become a chorus. I said, why? I said, I don't want to sing the sin of the devil. The Satan was a chorister that sings. How about that for Rema? Come on. Nonsense. No, why? He said the reason why choristers misbehave because of what Satan did. What nonsense is that? That Satan wanted to now overthrow God. Do you know what you are saying? Satan wants to now overthrow God. You are reading something in Isaiah and Ezekiel. The king of Tyre on the north. He also read it to man. Again, he wants to overthrow God. So Satan's rivalry is against man. And because he knows man is God's masterpiece. Hope you're following me. You know what I'm saying? Because no, man is God's masterpiece. The child of the devil. Come on now. I can sit and give you a child. Even Zachariah, that the angel told was going to give birth to a child. He heard it. What did the Bible say? He ran home to his wife. He ran on. He didn't say, oh, I believe it. And that's the reason. He's my son. Come on, say. Hallelujah. He said, no. The angel conceived by the devil. This is the devil's child. No. Pastor Shekhar one time said this. He said, he happened to meet someone years back. And then he said, the lady has been deceived to believing that she's a child of the devil. Why? Because they went to one mama. When one mama, the mama gave them something and they gave birth to her. Question is, did they not sleep? Your father and your mother, did they sleep together? Some pastors were born when their parents were unbelieving. Does that make a children of the devil? Why are you talking nonsense? Say, so one babalawo that gave us son that then we give birth to you. What nonsense? Satan has no right. Satan cannot give children. I hope you are following me. Don't get deceived. What you did was because they deceived you to that. You only lent your child to the devil. Very simple. Amen. In fact, they believe that you are Satan's child. And you are destitute, the vagabond, you look. You know Satan's children. You go and check out the Yahoo boy, you know Satan's child. You know them now. A man who is not born again is Satan's child, right? John 8, look at it, John 8. You are from here, of your father, the root, the devil. The devil is a liar from where? From the beginning. So meaning, Satan's sin can be related to the sin of Adam in Genesis. Hallelujah, from the beginning. So he's a liar from Genesis. Hallelujah. He's the only divorce. Hallelujah, I've told us this before. It will be unbelief also. Satan's sin will be unbelief. And it will be within Genesis. Glory to God. It will be within the Genesis. Satan didn't pre-exist Genesis. No, he was in Genesis. and it was created in Genesis. Hope you are following me. Hope you are following me. I love, because, you know, it's important we know it. That Satan has been a sinner before the beginning. In Romans chapter 5 verse 12, Paul made us see that sin entered by one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin. Hallelujah. Romans 5 12, sin entered into the world by one man, Adam. So, that means, I have here. It says sin entered into the world, into the activities of the earth, or into the activities of man. I mean, into the activities of the world through man. Therefore, Satan's sin will be synonymous to that of man, and it will be within Genesis 1 to 3. Satan is a liar from the beginning, Genesis. He is a murderer from the beginning, Genesis. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So Satan's rebel is not to overthrow God. No. In fact, imagine it now. Satan will now sit and say, in the Rulia, in the Michael, let's plan to do what? Amen. But his unbelief, his rage is against God's masterpiece, God's man. So his sin, let me not conclude on that, but his sin will be against God's man, God's masterpiece, God's man. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory, glory, glory. Because in Genesis, listen, I heard this years back from P.W. Kenyon, and I've heard it also from Pastor Shagun. Everything created in Genesis were created for man. Hope you're following me. Everything was created for man. Was for man. What's the matter? And the sin of Satan will be the sin against man. Remember, they who kept not their first estate. That means, we're going to see that next week. I can't say Satan. Angels have a will. They just have will. Hallelujah. Does God still produce angels every day? No, God doesn't. So we know that. Hallelujah. God is in the manufacturing industry. We have been calling those innumerable companies of India. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. We'll see you on our next week. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So the sin of Satan will be the sin against man. Right? And Satan or angels will be created within the Genesis. Remember we read something for angels. What were they called? Let me run through that commentary for you. I did that note some months back. Let me see if I can get that. A second. Okay. Now, I did a commentary. I told us something earlier. I said, angels were called sons of God and what? Morning stars, right? Come on. We're called morning stars too, right? Now let's look at something. Stars. Now, if you like, go and see what I'm on. I will deny you. As I'm speaking into the mic, well, now it will be recorded. Stars. Here's what I'm saying. Stars were used for people, nations, and beings in scriptures. In Genesis 15, just run through something. Let me run through. This is where we'll round up this teaching. Genesis 15, verse 5. It says, and he brought him forth abroad, and said, look now towards the heaven, and tell the stars, if you will be able to number them. And he said to him, so shall thy seed be. It's used for what? People, right? A people, right? A nation. Chapter 22, Genesis 22. Come on. Verse 17. It says, and in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of heaven. Mark that word, as the stars of heaven. Now, he didn't say his seed is the star of heaven. He said he will multiply thy seed as the stars of heaven. You have to get that. Hallelujah. Are you following that? As the what? Stars of heaven. And as the sand which is upon the seashore, and thy seed shall possess the gate of thy enemies. So,
is used to describe a nation, which is the nation of Israel, right? Come on.
Chapter 39, verse 9. Genesis 39. Just want to run through the commentary. Verse 9. He says, there is none greater in the house than her. Neither had he kept back anything from me. But because thou art his wife, how can I know? I missed that. 37. Sorry for that. 37 verse 9. He says, and he dreamed yet another dream, and told his brethren, and behold, I've dreamed a dream more. You know dream? You know the dreamer? And behold, the sun and the moon and the 11 stars made opening sounds to me.
Amen. And the 11 stars referring to people. Right?
Okay. Exodus. Exodus 32:13. Let's rush down there. I'm going to take a commentary from Moses' writings. So I just restricted that to this. Exodus 32:13. It says, remember Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, thy servants, whom thou showest thy own self, and said unto them, I will multiply thy seed as the stars of heaven, and all this land that I have spoken of will I give unto your seed, and you shall inherit it forever. Did you see that? Repeat the same thing. Now look at Numbers 24. Numbers 24. I want you to rush it in. Numbers 24. Quickly. Verse 17. It says, I shall see him, but now I shall behold him, but not now. There shall come a star out of Jacob, and a scepter rise out of Israel, and shall smite the corners of Moab, and destroy all the children of Shit, of Shethes, rather. Hallelujah. So, it's talking about God's redemption for who? For Israel, right? Right? And it calls for, he said, a star shall come. So, it's referring to a person, right? Right? Deuteronomy 1. Deuteronomy 1:10. He said, the Lord your God hath multiplied you, and behold, ye are this day as the stars of heaven for multitude. So, I want you to watch this. Stars of heaven for multitude. Now, is used when you want to, they use, if you want to calculate, if you want to talk of a mass number of people, you equate it to the stars of heaven. This is that. That's what you keep saying, right? To talk about many people, you call stars of heaven. We equate it towards the stars of heaven. You put that, all that following that. That's how it is. Now look at Deuteronomy 4:19. Look at what it says. It says, I don't know what it says. The likeness of anything that creepeth on the ground, the likeness of any fish that is in the waters beneath the earth, and least thou lift up thy eyes to heaven, and when thou seest the sun and the moon and the stars, even all the hosts of the heaven, shouldest be driven to worship them and to serve them. It says, which the Lord thy God had divided unto all nations under the whole heaven. Listen to this. I want you to follow me. Now, they are divided under all other nations under heaven unto the who? Come on. Under the sun, the moon, and the stars, right? They divided every other nation to the sun, moon, and the stars. Now, look at what it says to Israel, verse 20. But the Lord hath taken you, brought you forth out of the iron furnace, even out of Egypt, to be his own people of inheritance, as ye are this day. So, Israel will be governed by God, while others will be governed by one supernatural being. Hope you are following me. So he calls the stars, use stars for supernatural beings. Hallelujah. Hope you are following that. Use stars for supernatural beings. Now, listen. When the children of Israel now sin, who now handed over them, who now handed over to them the old covenant? Because of unbelief.
Yeah. Hallelujah.
Very, very simple then. So, hallelujah. So, glory to God.
So that means God handed over other nations to supernatural beings, and then Israel, he was in charge of Israel. Just very simple for you to see. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Then let's now go down to Job. Job 38. So that means
staff are used for beings, right? Right? So that's what supernatural means. And then men were equated to the number of the stars of heaven. Now we talk about the multitude. That were equated to the number of the stars of the heaven. Now, Moses is using the physical stars to talk about what? Something spiritual. Hallelujah.
Very, very right. Now, Job, what did I have to open? 38, right? Is this Job 38? Okay, verse 7. It says, when the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy. Hallelujah. Now, it says, he didn't say some, it says all.
Hallelujah. Now, when you use the word all then, you will discover that the word all then, it implies that, number one, we have just seen that angels don't reproduce. Right? Angels don't reproduce.
How much more? Angels can't even reproduce. Angels can't even reproduce with angels. They can't even reproduce with human beings. Hallelujah.
Paul will show us in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 that there is a glory of, that there is a body terrestrial and a body celestial. Now, it says the glory of the body celestial is one, the glory of the body celestial is another. Right?
So, the angels, when you talk about human beings, you have the terrestrial body. Hallelujah. So you can't have a mixture. Supernatural being, no.
I hope you're following. It's not possible to have. I hope you're following that. It's not possible to do that, to have that.
So very, very important. So angels can multiply. So if angels can reproduce, that means in the beginning in Genesis, when the angels were created, they were created all together.
Hallelujah.
All. So when the writer of Hebrews says an innumerable company of angels, he's just making you see that they are uncountable. It's not that there's a multiplication of them or there's an increase in them.
Hope you're following me.
They are there. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory, glory, glory. So, of all, if you watch scriptures, if you read scriptures, if you read Genesis 1, it is, I just have to put it this way,
Celestial
beings
are the ones that have reproduction.
Really?
Genesis 1?
Genesis 1. So we don't have reproduction for celestial beings. So everything in Genesis was created for man. Hope you're following me. Hope you're following me. That's a simple commentary that we have to run through them. So, at this juncture,
Satan or no, angels,
also angels are actually created for man. Hallelujah. So you can simply put all of man's wants, all of man's needs are deposited in angels.
That's the word from Association 30.
All of man's needs are deposited in angels. Glory to God. Glory to God. I hope you're following me. So the question would then be, as we go into next week, I really need us to get closing down on some
very vital issues, especially as we get prepared for prayer retreat, the upper week. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Regarding how to exercise our authority in the place of prayer. Amen? Amen? How do angels respond to the authority of the believers, especially in the place of prayer? Hallelujah. We will have to jump to take that. When we come back, we'll get back to it. Amen.
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 So we'll see the ministry of angels. Hallelujah. They are set forth to minister for them who shall be what? Heirs of salvation.
Glory to God.
And I showed us something last week that we'll run through the commentaries of the book of Acts, which says we'll find angels always not giving instructions to men. Angels don't command man. Angels don't. They don't command men. But you'll find them all around the preaching of the gospel. Hallelujah. You find them around the preaching of the gospel. They don't preach the gospel without a good word. Right? But they are found around it. Around it. Hallelujah. Where Peter was released from prison. Right? That supernatural encounter. What did the angel tell you to go for? Right? Right? So we are found around the preaching of the gospel. Glory to God. We'll see more of that next week. Glory to God.
Just look at that a bit next week and then talk about how to exercise our authority when we pray. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We learned something today. We learned something today. Turn to your neighbor and share what you learned, especially that.